to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sai Ram and greetings from Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. You are tuned to Asia's stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony and a warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live, the live broadcast coming to you from Prashanti Nilayam. Well, this is a segment, Service Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Well, the time right now in our studio is 3 minutes past 11 a.m. and it's 22nd of May today. Talking about weather here in the ashram, right now it's warm and pleasant morning today here at Prashanti Nilayam, but day before yesterday evening, during dusk time, there was a thunder, lightning and lot of rains, a downpour here at Prashanti Nilayam. So the temperatures have slightly come down. In fact, talking about the lightning and thunder that happened that evening, it was as if the gods in heaven were clicking photos with their cameras. There was a lot of thunder and lightning and a heavy downpour. So right now the climate is very pleasant, but it's quite warm here, as it is the month of May, the season of summer. So as I said, this is a segment, Service Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. So let us all, at the very outset, collectively offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Well, today I thought I will begin this segment by telling you all about a small video clip which I watched a couple of days back. In fact, this was just a small 3 minutes video clip, but the message that I got from this is very profound, and today I want to share with you all about that. So the video clip opens with a gentleman going to his office from his home. In fact, he is walking to his office. The office from his home is just at a walkable distance. So every day morning he walks to his office. So when he was walking in the footpath to his office, he had to go through a building which was under construction. So the building was under construction, and what happens in a building under construction is at a certain stage, the masons, after plastering the wall, the ceiling and the flooring with cement, they have to pour water onto that every morning so that to keep it cool, so that it doesn't crack due to the sunlight. So that process was going on the building under construction. So the masons were putting water to the floors and the wall and the ceiling, which was plastered. And from a certain pipe, the water was falling down into the footpath. Now this gentleman didn't observe it, and he was just walking, and the water fell on his head. So after seeing this, what this gentleman did was, he saw there was a flower pot just nearby. So he took the flower pot and he kept it in the place where the water was falling. So he felt happy and he moved further forward to his office. Then he saw among the crowded, busy traffic, there was an elderly lady with a vegetable cart with her, and she was trying to cross the road because she wanted to go to the other side of the road and place her cart there and wanted to sell the vegetables. So this gentleman went to the lady and helped her in crossing the road, and he felt more good. Then he went forward towards his office, and he saw on the street a lady with her small daughter sitting on the street, and they were asking for donation for the education of the small girl. In fact, they were sitting there and there was a board written, please donate for the education of the small girl. So this gentleman took out his purse and gave some money to the small girl. Then he went forward, he went to the canteen, which was an open canteen, so he was having his food. And then a dog came to him and it started licking his leg. Then this man took some portion of the food that he was eating and gave it to the dog. Then after finishing his breakfast, he went forward and there was an old age home near his office. So he went inside that and he had bought some bananas, and he went to an old lady and gave her a few bananas, and then he went to his office. Now, as we go on in the video, it showed that this was the regular routine of the gentleman when he started from his home to the office. So as he started, he every day morning from his home, he used to see that the flower pot was getting water, because the construction building, the masons were putting water. So he used to make sure that the water falls directly into the pot, flower pot. And then as he went forward, he used to find that elderly lady trying to cross the road of heavy traffic with her vegetable cart. So he used to help her. Then as he moved forward, he used to find that mother and small girl sitting for asking for donation. So every day he used to give the small girl some money, and then when he went to the canteen, a particular dog every day used to come to him, and this man used to share the food with the dog. And then as he went towards his office, he used to go inside that old age home and give some bananas to that elderly lady. So this was his everyday routine. Now, after a few months, one day when he came out of his home, he saw that the plant in that pot had grown up for about 2 or 3 feet, and there were beautiful flowers coming from the plant, and butterflies were flocking around that plant. It was a nice sight to be seen, and this gentleman felt very happy. And as he moved forward, he knew that elderly lady will be waiting for him to take his help to cross the road. And in fact, that elderly lady had become so much friendly with this man that she used to treat him as her own family member. And one day, when he went forward, he saw only the mother sitting there on the street. And it was as if the mother was waiting for this gentleman. And this gentleman felt quite surprised and puzzled, seeing only the mother, and that small girl was not there. And when he went to that mother, from a distance the girl called for her mother, and this gentleman saw the small girl. She was wearing school uniform with a bag full of books. That means the girl had joined a school with the donation which they had got. This gentleman was very happy. And then he went to the canteen, and as usual, the dog came to him. He shared the food. But when he went out of the canteen, the dog started following the gentleman. And this gentleman had got a good companion, that is a dog. And he took care of the dog as his pet. And he went to the old age home, and that elderly lady whom this gentleman used to give bananas hugged him, and she also treated him as her own family member. So you see, dear listeners, this gentleman used to do these activities, used to do small good deeds every day when he walked to his office. Now, after doing this, he didn't get anything. That means he didn't get anything monetary, like he didn't become rich, he didn't become famous, he never appeared in TV, or his name didn't come in newspaper, but he got something very precious, which even $1 million can't give you. That is, he got a satisfaction in life, happiness in life, that he has done something, a feeling of goodness. In fact, this is what happens when we help others, when we involve ourselves in service activities. And dear listeners, the aim of this segment, Service Love in Action, is to share with all of you such service activity that Swami's devotees are involved in, and also listen to the experiences, the small instances, where touching instances which these devotees have come across, which people have come across after being engaged in service activities. So today, in this segment, I'll be playing for you two accounts of same activity, one from Indian state of Bihar and another from overseas country, that is from New Zealand. But that will be in a while from now. So let's begin today's segment by listening to a few English devotional songs.
Sigh of love. Ever free,
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Science Thursday Live.
Radio Science Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Dear listeners, once again, a loving Sairam and a warm greetings from Prashant Nilayam, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. Well, this is the segment Service Love in Action, bringing you accounts of Swami's love and all of Swami translating into service to humanity. Well, as I said in the beginning, today I'll be playing for you two accounts of Seva activity. The first one is the heroic service rendered by Sai devotees of the Indian state of Bihar as the biggest flood in their lifetime wiped away homes, families, life and hope. On 15th August in the year 2008, India celebrated its 62nd Independence Day with great gusto, not knowing that one of its most populated and impoverished state was to face a national calamity. Just 3 days later, River Kosi broke its embankment at Kusaha Sanhari in neighboring Nepal, causing a 2-kilometer bridge across the dam. Suddenly, an enormous wall of water gushed into Bihar via an old route that the River Kosi had actually abandoned for 100 years. Well, a popular proverb says that a friend in need is a friend indeed. In case of Sai devotees, who is better friend than one's sibling? For Bhagwan Baba promotes brotherhood of humanity and fatherhood of God. Even before the government had stepped in, the Sai volunteers of Bihar rushed to help millions of their brothers and sisters after the flood devastated their state. And it was no ordinary flood. It was, as the New York Times reported, the worst flood in the region in the last 50 years. So today, let me bring this account, and this account of SAVE activity by the Sai volunteers is in the form of an audio documentary. The narrators are Brother Bishop Prishti and Brother K.M. Ganesh, and the sound effects and the background music was composed by Radio Sai's C.G. Sai Prakash. So let's listen to this audio documentary.
On the night of August 18, a wall of water as high as a two-storied building rushed in furiously into the villages of Bihar. It washed away everything and anything. People, cattle, brick houses, hutments, trees, and whatever else that came in its path. The waters gushed in at 25,000 cubic meters per second, and thousands were washed away in seconds, even before they realized what was happening. Leaving their homes and belongings behind, people sprinted to find shelters. It was as if the god of death was chasing them. Mr. S.B. Chaudhary, the then state president of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Bihar, recalled.
Yes, it was not an ordinary flood. It was like a Mahakal or a terrible wrath of God of death. For all we know, the 1,000 recorded deaths might be an underestimate. A total of 13 districts were affected, but in 4, the damage was severe. In Saipal, particularly, it was the worst.
The floods displaced millions of lives, destroyed acres of cultivable land, and damaged property worth crores of rupees. More than 2.3 million people were marooned, and at least 247,000 acres of farmland were swamped, destroying acres of wheat and paddy crops. Over 800 villages were washed away, killing at least 1,000 people. It was unprecedented, unexpected, and the most ruthless devastation the state had seen. The Indian Army and non-government organizations had to undertake the biggest flood rescue operation in India in decades.
Floods are not uncommon in Bihar, as Mr. Chaudhary explained.
Every year, the river Kosi flows into the inhabited lands of Bihar and destroys crops and property. This river, as it is often called, is truly the sorrow of Bihar. Particularly in this season, the people of Bihar are generally prepared for it.
But nothing could have prepared them for the shock, as this time the river ran into the villages along an unused route. It was as though the river was revisiting its past to settle an old score with a vengeance. As the news of the devastating currents of Kosi spread, people across the state and country came together to form another kind of current, which was equally moving and strong and powerful. The current of selfless service. Not surprisingly, this was spearheaded by Sri Sakti Sai Seva Organization. The first to swing into action was the Bihar chapter of the Sai Organization of India.
What distinguished the seva performed by the Sai Organization from other relief efforts is that the Sai volunteers were the first to reach many interior villages and help the neediest of the needy without any thought of their own safety. Bhagwan Baba has placed seva or selfless service on the highest spiritual pedestal, for he says, quote, "If you lift the hand to serve, to help, to console, to encourage another man, you are lifting it for God is in every man," unquote. And this is exactly what the Sai volunteers lived out. As the news of the catastrophe spread, Mr. Shiv Shankar Chaudhary, the then district president of the Sai organization of Supol in Bihar, rushed to the site of disaster.
We took motorcycles and rode towards the affected areas. What we saw there was simply pathetic. A middle-aged man was running with his children on his shoulders. An old man was trying to rush out with a tiny bag of belongings. A third was trying to save his cattle. Another wailing that he had lost everything. The floodwaters were closing at a fast pace. They had no time to think. They were just running piteously to elevated areas. Seeing them, tears started flowing down our face. People were now living on trees. They had nothing to eat or drink except that polluted water that surrounded them on all sides.
Mr. Shiv Shankar and other members returned and immediately started the relief work. The Sai organization was the first to start work in the region as they realized that the government and other non-governmental organizations were still assessing the gravity of the calamity. Realizing that there was no time to lose, they collected essential food items and served more than 2,000 people on the night of August 21st. They went into villages that were completely marooned and where approachability was poor, even though it was highly risky. Mr. Shiv Shankar recollected,
"It was a perilous adventure and we did not even have regular boats. We had to make use of country boats. The current of water was so high that if you stood even in 2 feet of water, you would be washed away. In fact, the police and government authorities were stopping people from going into these areas. But we were not afraid, because we were absolutely confident that Bhagwan was with us."
They reached out to remote areas where people had been stranded on trees and elevated structures. Loaded with non-perishable food items such as poha or flattened rice, jaggery, biscuits, powdered milk, salt, candles, bread, clothes and medicines, they rode kilometers on the rickety boats and reached out to the distressed. He continued,
"We had no fear. Bhagwan gave us the strength and we distributed all these items as his prasadam."
20 Sevadal volunteers served in this manner throughout the night from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. with torches in their hands for light. They sought out every individual seeking help in Supol and offered them food and clothes. It was no different in Madhepur, another badly affected district in northern Bihar. Mr. Ram Avtar Razak, the then district president of the Sai organization of Madhepur, had this to say.
"When we surveyed this area on the 23rd of August, we found that water had entered the offices of even the district collector and the superintendent of police. In fact, the entire capital town of this district was a sea of water."
Razak and his team of Sai volunteers found people perched on top of buildings and elevated embankments. They were hungry and in a state of utter shock.
"When we filled their desperate palms with food, with love in our hearts and the name of Sai on our lips, they cried. Overwhelmed with gratitude, they too vociferously chanted, 'Sai Ram, Sai Ram.' It was 3 days since their lives had turned upside down and nobody had come to their rescue. Since we served each and every one of them personally and treated them with a lot of dignity and love, they started treating us as if we were God."
Sai volunteers continue to be Baba's ambassadors of pure love in action. Mr. Srinivas, a Sai youth from Jamshedpur, explained,
"I was shocked seeing the affected areas of Madhepur. The main road was under 2 feet of water. People were moving about on boats. At every relief camp, we first made everybody sit in neat rows and then started the distribution by chanting Swami's name. In case of other organizations, people rushed to the supplies and caused stampedes. Many items would be destroyed or lost because of grabbing and fighting. But we treated everyone with love, and they too responded well. We ensured there was discipline and calmness during distribution so that everybody got his or her packets. Most other agencies involved in the relief operations avoided entering areas that were dangerously flooded. They preferred to work only in towns and easily accessible areas. Ironically, they asked the people stranded in the affected areas to come and collect the supplies.
On the contrary, raised on the Sai Council, that what the head thinks must be examined by the heart and then carried out by the hand, the Sai youth went to the remotest of areas and delivered the items to the people wherever they were stranded. Realizing the desperation of the survivors, Sai youth reached out to as many as possible, wherever they were. Like all Sai activities, this was done with great reverence and love for the unfortunate ones.
For example, the village Rampur, which is about 30 kilometers from Madhepur, was completely submerged in water, and all the villagers had taken shelter on an elevated piece of land. They needed immediate help, but no group was willing to enter that area. In fact, a government boat that had made an attempt to do so sank. But with the continuous chanting of Sai Gayatri, Sai volunteers rowed into the danger zone with loads of food and other essential items. Mr. Ramavtar Razak narrated this episode.
There was a huge crowd eagerly waiting on a piece of high land that was completely surrounded by water. When we distributed the milk, biscuits, rice and clothes, their sense of relief and joy knew no bounds. There were many such remote and completely isolated villages like Murliganj, Tunahi, Sukhasan and Garibtola. Reaching out to them was our continuous activity for days and even weeks.
There were numerous such instances where the Sai organization was the first to offer relief.
In one such incident, the Sai youth went to a village called Sukhasan that had been isolated by 3 kilometers of water on all sides. The youngsters reached the village after a lot of difficulty, but all their stress dissolved the moment they saw the reaction of the villagers. Men and women cried out in a joy as nobody had bothered to help them till then. They had felt abandoned. The care and concern shown by the Sai youth brought solace to them. They had not heard of Swami till then, but then on, every time the Sai youth came to help them, they cheered, "Sai Baba has come! Sai Baba has come!" With daily visits, the relationship strengthened. Soon, they developed the conviction that Sai would definitely come to their rescue, even if everybody else abandoned them. Unknown to them, millions of Sai devotees live their lives in the same truth. Meanwhile, although individual district units of the Bihar Sai organization had swung into relief work immediately after the calamity, the state president of Bihar Sai organization called a meeting of all the district heads to coordinate the efforts.
After this, the affected areas began to receive supplies from over 30 districts of Bihar and Jharkhand regularly. 30 truckloads of essential items came in immediately, and later, with the direction from the All India President of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, neighboring states also started sending in truckloads of supplies. Bhagwan Baba says, quote, "Service without idea of self trains you to transcend all the artificial distinctions imposed by history and geography and aids you to realize that the human community is one and indivisible," unquote.
The Sai volunteers experienced this oneness with the distressed people and served them in the same spirit. Now, with the joining of other states, there was no shortage of resources. Mr. Chaudhary, the then state president of Sai organization, recalled this moment.
The state of Maharashtra sent vitamin biscuits for children. Rice and dal, soaps and tarpaulins, saris and dhotis came from Delhi, Uttar Pradesh, Haryana and Punjab. Similarly, other essential food items and clothes arrived from Madhya Pradesh and West Bengal. What was needed at this point was proper organization of packaging and distribution. For this, we created a base camp at Saharsa, which was closest to the affected districts. A theater owner in Saharsa offered us 2 big rooms, and 50 Sai workers worked here for weeks making packets of the essential supplies. Each bag contained a minimum of 2 kg of beaten rice, jaggery, biscuits packets, milk powder, soaps, candles, matchbox, common medicines, clothes and other small items. Every morning, a truckload of such packets would be ready and a team of youth carried them to the distressed areas.
Although the task ahead was daunting, prior experience of Gram Seva helped the Sai volunteers manage it well. As part of Gram Seva projects, Sai devotees from all areas voluntarily visit different villages, including remote ones, to help improve the quality of villagers' lives in terms of food, education, sanitation, health and other necessary services. Mr. P. V. Krishnamohan is an alumnus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and in 2008 he was the Jamshedpur Sai Youth Coordinator. And this is what he recalled.
It was not difficult for us to strike a chord with the villagers because we are used to serving in the rural areas. We understand them very well. Besides, because of our experience in disaster and relief management, we were the first organization to get into the Rescue Act. And our focus was on the villages and isolated areas because it was these areas that no other organization was venturing into.
Ramavtar Razak added,
I just cannot forget the visit to Garib Tola, a village in North Bihar. It was very risky to go there as the river was overflowing and the village was now an island. Our boat was rocking dangerously. Had we hit anything along the way, the boat would have simply turned upside down. It was surely due to Bhagwan's grace that we reached safely. People had been sitting on raised platforms and trees for 10 days and had nothing but the flood waters to drink. Government helicopters airdropped relief material, but they just fell into the river. But we personally distributed food, clothes and medicines to women, children and all the elderly. On most days we were so preoccupied with the relief work that we forgot our own hunger and discomfort. We ate only after we returned to our base camp at midnight.
The Sevadal faced new challenges and crises at every turn, but they handled them with the only solution they knew, faith in Bhagwan. The obstacles in each area were different and demanding. Also, many a times, they were overwhelmed by the sufferings of the people. Emotionally, the experience was extremely moving.
In village Rampur Tola, for instance, they travelled in knee-deep water for 40 kilometers in their jeep, beyond which there was no road. They walked another 3 miles carrying all the relief material on their shoulders. In fact, some of the volunteers and villagers had to defend themselves with sticks, as many wanted to loot the supplies. When they finally managed to reach the devastated village, their hearts cried out at the sight. They saw wailing children, women with an empty look in their eyes as they had lost all hope, and men starved and helpless. Other organizations had asked them to come to the towns to collect food, which was impossible. Even as the Sai volunteers served them food, they were in a dazed state, unable to believe that somebody had actually thought of them. Mr. Ramavtar Razak described his experience.
I was so grateful to Bhagwan at that moment for having blessed me with the opportunity to serve them. I wiped their tears by seeing the God in them. I had never before experienced the bliss of serving and giving like I did that day. The entire project was a powerful and divine experience.
Mr. Shiv Shankar Chaudhary chimed in his feelings.
I sincerely felt that it was God who was reaching out to another form of God.
Baba has clarified that service is the first step along the spiritual path. Service expresses the divinity hidden in man. It broadens one's heart. It destroys narrow-mindedness and it gives delight. The evil qualities and tendencies in us can be driven away through service. Mr. Ram Avatar Razak narrated one such instance.
I tell you, the grueling 5 weeks of service was like a penance. You know, I used to get up at 4 a.m. every single day and slept only after midnight. At 6:30 a.m. every day, we started with our loaded trucks and returned not before 10:30 p.m. After that, I had to attend to organizational and other paperwork to check the supplies and the packing work, apart from preparing all the other official reports. On many days, I only had a packet of biscuits. But can you believe it? None of us fell ill, and it was purely Swami's grace. In fact, we felt His love and protection every single day. I am very sure we were sustained only by Swami's energy and nothing else.
Despite all the mayhem and chaos, they felt Baba's divine presence and grace always. Every time they faced a desperate situation and prayed to Swami, their prayers were answered.
On August 28th, when we were returning with the leftover material in our truck, it started raining heavily. Our material was not waterproof as they were in jute bags. At around 9 p.m., when we stopped at a town called Jitapur, we were astonished to see that none of the packets were wet. We immediately brought them down and distributed it to the people in the area. A solitary building that had survived the floods was being used as a refuge for people. They were actually waiting for the relief material, and they were delighted to receive our food and clothes.
Mr. Shiv Shankar Chaudhary described another incident of how the Lord of Puttaparthi saved his devotees.
Dirpul was one of the worst affected villages in the flood. It is near the Indo-Nepal border. Only one house was left standing in the entire village, and it was the house of a Sai devotee. As the water level rose, the family climbed onto the roof of the house. Their faith in Bhagwan was so strong that they had no fear, though the water rose up to 20 feet. They stayed on the roof for 10 days. Once the water receded, they came down and found all the things in their house perfectly intact.
Incidents of Bhagwan's grace are numerous. In another instance, the sister of one of the Sai devotees was trapped in a flooded area 40 kilometers from Supol. In spite of best efforts, she was not contactable for many days. Suddenly, after 8 days, she called from her mobile phone. Her phone had somehow started working after more than a week. Immediately, the Sai volunteers arranged for a military boat to her rescue. As the vessel moved, it found many waiting to be rescued on the way. They took all of them on board. By the time the boat reached the woman's house, there were already 80 people on the boat, and there was no room for her. So the boat was taken back after promising her that the volunteers would come back for her and others.
However, there were more tests. On the way back, the boat's engine stopped functioning. It was a precarious situation as the water currents were strong. The boat hit many concrete pillars and was tossed back and forth by the waters. The worried volunteers chanted Sai's name, and despite the several collisions, the boat was safe. Finally, it got trapped between the pillars of a bridge, and this proved to be a blessing. Military personnel hauled them up from the boat, and everybody was safe. What could have been a terrible disaster was averted only by Swami's grace.
2 days later, the devotee's sister was also rescued. Thus, the devotees of Bihar repeatedly experienced Bhagwan's divine omnipresence throughout the calamity. Swami says, the easiest way to serve God is by serving men. The devotees of Bihar closely experienced this as they moved amongst the hungry and distraught and saw God in them. Mr. Krishna Mohan, the Sai University alumnus who works in telco company Jamshedpur, recalled that moment.
This chance to serve blessed us with a higher level of self-satisfaction. We were serving not people, but different forms of God. I sent out an email to all the employees of our company, informing them of our service initiative, and many came forward to help. They were amazed when they saw the photographs and the video clips of the extent of our work. The ideals of Sai organization moved them and encouraged them to step out of their comfort zone to help the distressed. This transformation in outlook was valuable to themselves and to the society. This was a silver lining to this dark cloud of disaster.
The relief work that started on August 21, 2008 continued for 5 weeks and benefited 50,000 people in the worst affected districts of Bihar. After the waters receded and people returned to their villages, the Sai organization distributed special kits to help them rebuild their lives.
These comprehensive packs containing cooking utensils, serving plates and spoons, blankets, 20 kg of rice and other food grains, saris and dhotis were presented to them just before Diwali, which fell on October 28. The joy in their faces said everything. For us, there was no better way to celebrate this festival of lights.
This is what Mr. S.P. Chaudhary, the then state president of Sai Organization of Bihar, said. The sun is glorious because it gives itself to others incessantly. Similarly, we shine brighter when we offer our lives to others. Swami says, the joy one gets while promoting another's joy is incomparable. By walking on this joyous path of selfless service, the volunteers of Bihar experienced true bliss, which can perhaps be experienced only after years of penance.
The magnitude of their service may be modest in comparison to the colossal devastation in the state, but they reached out to as many as they could and gave them complete help. And above all, their efforts were saturated with genuine love and compassion, for they were on a mission of a lifetime, serving as they were in the name of Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Salaam, dear listeners. Once again, a warm welcome to Radio Sai. Well, this is a segment, Service Love in Action, and you just heard the story of the heroic service rendered by Sai devotees of the Indian state of Bihar as the highest, biggest flood in their lifetime wiped away homes, families, life and hope. Well, I hope you enjoyed this story. Please do send us your feedback to listener@radiosai.org. In fact, before concluding, I have got another story for you, a service story. But before that, let's take a break and listen to a beautiful Sai Bhajan.
Deva, Jai Deva, Sai Deva, Jaya Maya.
Vibhuti Sunda Shashank Shekhar.
Vibhuti Sunda Shashank.
Sai Shankar Daya Karo
Sai Shankar Daya Karo
Guru Deva Jai Deva Sai Deva Daya Maya
Nandan Sai Gopala
Gokulanandan Sai Gopala
Raghukula Bhushan Sai Rama
Raghukula Bhushan Sai Rama
Deva, Jai Deva, Sai Deva, Daya Maya.
Guru Deva,
Jai Deva, Sai Deva, Daya Maya. Guru Deva, Jai Deva, Sai Deva. Jaya Maya
Deva Jaya Deva Jaya Deva Jaya Maya
Vibhuti Sundar Shashank Shekhar
Vibhuti Sundar Shashank Shekhar
Sai Shankar Jaya Karo
Sai Shankar Jaya Karo
Guru Deva Jai Deva, Sai Deva, Jaya Maya.
Gokula
Nandan Sai Gopala.
Raghukula
Bhushan Sai Rama.
Hey
Madanantak Daya Karo
Hey Madanantak Daya Karo
Guru Deva Jaya Deva
Light of truth dawn in the the hearts of all beings.
Hate the sin, not the sinner, says Holy Bible. Volunteers of Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization of Auckland, New Zealand have been practicing these profound biblical virtues since the year 2002 by reaching out to the inmates of the local prisons. Well, dear listeners, while prisons and jails with their high walls may seem to be fearsome places, the truth is people living behind these walls are just like us. God resides in them just as in us. Swami says, and I quote, "When faults are found in anyone, you will have to understand that there are deficiency in their behavior, that's all. Do not conclude that there is no divine Atma in them. As a result of the company they keep or the immorality of the society in which they grew up, flaws have developed in them. These are not native in their nature, which is atmic. You will have to provide them with good company and beneficial surroundings and persuade them to take part in these. You should on no account condemn such people as born incorrigibles and keep them aloof." Unquote. Today, Swami's instruments around the world from New Zealand to New York dispenses divine love to those in need, including the prisoners in Auckland, New Zealand. Baba has always prescribed selfless and loving service as the highest form of spiritual practice. So, dear listeners, today's story on prison seva in New Zealand is just one of the many service projects that his devotees around the world are engaged in. And for them, serving in the name of Sai is the ultimate privilege in life. So now I'll be playing you this account of Seva story in the form of an audio documentary. The narrators are Brother Bishop Rushdie and K.M. Ganesh, and the sound effects and background music was composed by Radio Sai's Anirudh.
The Sai workers of Auckland decided to conduct a unique program for the inmates of Mount Eden Remand Prison in the city in 2002. They paid monthly visits to the women's wing of the prison to understand the inmates and their needs better. As the task was new, prison authorities suggested that the volunteers start the sessions for the women inmates only as a pilot program. So, finally, on a Sunday morning in September 2002, the New Zealand Sai volunteers set out on their first visit to the prison. The team was admittedly nervous. On arriving at the location, they felt the palpable tension and negative energy within the prison walls. They began chanting Sai Ram as they were escorted to a special visitor's room to meet the inmates. Soon, to their surprise, all nervousness and concerns vanished. As they chanted the divine name, they felt calmer and could feel Swami's divine presence amidst them. The prison authorities had asked the organization to limit the numbers of volunteers to 4 or 5 to avoid outnumbering the number of prisoners they thought would attend. Imagine their surprise when they entered the room and found 25 inmates eagerly awaiting them. A participating devotee had this to say.
As we entered the room, we could feel the tension, the suspicion, and the aggression, because some of the inmates felt that this would be a place where old scores could be settled. We had the security of prison guards on site just in case. They were kind and they kept discreetly in the background. But mark my words, we were definitely nervous, as there were some tough cookies attending. But we knew we had Swami with us, and we had a good feeling that the program would be successful.
The group began with a prayer sung in the native Maori language,
It was a beautiful interfaith prayer which meant, let the love, the truth, the peace surround us all. The effect of this was hard to miss. Everyone seemed to have settled down and the energy in the room was transformed. It was now less hostile and less defiant. It also sent out the message to the participants that the Sai volunteers were genuine and were there to help. The Sai workers then introduced themselves, explained what they hoped to achieve and how the program would be structured. They also encouraged the prison inmates to ask any questions they had at any point during the session. Importantly, they explained that they were followers of Sri Sathya Sai Baba, a wonderful spiritual teacher from India whose message of love and tolerance encompasses all religions and races. They informed them that they had small pocket-sized photographs of Baba and some holy ash, the vibhuti, and would gladly give them out if requested.
Next, they asked the inmates to join them in Jyoti meditation, a non-denominational tuning in visualization. Along the way, they carefully explained the process and the benefits gained from doing the meditation. A few minutes into this, the volunteers sensed a definite easing of tension in the room as a soft and gentle stillness took over. A volunteer from the group aptly described the moment.
We knew instantly that Swami was with us and helping us.
This was followed by singing of devotional songs relevant to all faiths in both Maori and English. One of the Sai workers had brought in a guitar. The inmates loved this and began suggesting other songs they could sing. Surprisingly, all the songs they wanted to sing were spiritual as well. Had also selected one of Swami's quotations and discussed its meaning and significance with the inmates. After this, The session ended with a prayer and a promise to return.
All the volunteers were visibly happy and decided to continue the visits. Now, with permission from the prison authorities, they began to have weekly sessions as more Sai volunteers had registered and now they could run the program on a roster basis. About a year into the program at the Mount Eden prison, the Sai volunteers received a letter from the authorities of another prison, the Vaikeria prison, situated about 250 kilometers south of Auckland. The letter mentioned that the Mount Eden prison authorities had seen a noticeable change in the behavior of the inmates who were attending the sessions. The overall attitudes and aggressive tendencies of the inmates had softened since they began attending the sessions, and the authorities had therefore recommended the program. The Vaikeria officials wanted a similar program in their prison as well.
So, a new batch of Sai volunteers from Hamilton Sai Center was trained to conduct the sessions. Today, these volunteers visit the Vaikeria prison on a monthly basis and are bringing about a silent transformation among the inmates. Despite the small size of the Sai Center, the volunteers are determined to keep the good work going on a permanent basis.
To the Auckland prison, soon the authorities asked the organization to expand the program to the men inmates of the prison. A new roster of Sai devotees was thoughtfully selected, as they knew the sessions for the male inmates needed to be different from those for the women. They would now be face to face with some pretty hardened criminals and even some street gang members with long criminal records. Like the first session with the women inmates, by divine guidance, this session too was successful. For the male prisoners, the volunteers decided to conduct the meditation with a slight change. The prisoners were asked to lie down on their backs in a circle with their feet facing towards the center. This way, the prisoners could not look at each other. It worked extremely well, and all the prisoners who participated felt a deep inner peace once the session was over. After a few more sessions, the prisoners meditated sitting on the chairs, and no problems were ever faced. One of the Sai volunteers from that team testified,
"As we prepared to leave, we noticed that some of the inmates were crying softly and knew instantly that the decision to take on this new format was correct. Right then, something very beautiful and profound took place. As one of our devotees put a small photo of Swami away in his pocket, one of the inmates, a heavily tattooed gang member, came up to him and said, 'Hey bro, the fella in that picture you have there is not just for you guys. 2 weeks ago, he came into my cell, raised his hands as if he was blessing me, then disappeared. I've not told any of my prison mates as they would think I'm going soft, but it's the truth.'"
This only confirmed what the volunteers had felt all along, that their dear Lord is always present with them. God is always there with anyone who genuinely wants to help another person. All such experiences have only deepened the faith and resolve of the Sai volunteers of New Zealand to continue the service with more passion and zeal. Baba says, quote, "When faults are found in anyone, you will have to understand that there are deficiencies in their behavior. That is all. Do not conclude that there is no divine Atma in them. As a result of the company they keep or the immorality of the society in which they grew up, flaws have developed in them. These are not native to their nature, which is Atmic. You will have to provide them with good company and beneficial surroundings and persuade them to take part in these. You should on no account condemn such people as born incorrigibles and keep them aloof." Unquote.
The sessions for the male prisoners at Mount Eden Prison were temporarily stopped in late 2008 due to large-scale renovation and modernization of the prison. In December 2010, the prison authorities requested the SAI organization to resume the sessions, and since then, 15 new SAI devotees have volunteered to join. Dear listeners, right at the outset, Bhagwan Baba defined his avataric mission as the protection of the virtuous and correction of the wrongdoers. The only wickedness he ever spoke of destroying is the negativity in the hearts of human beings. The love incarnate's most potent tool for bringing about positive transformation has always been his pure love.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Salam, dear listeners. Welcome back to today's Thursday Life. This is the segment Service, Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. So you heard an audio documentary, which was an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai. And this audio documentary brought to you about the Sai Seva project from the prisons of Auckland, New Zealand. Well, dear listeners, talking about prison, I am tempted to narrate to you the story of Kalpagiri. And this story is written in the Swami's biography, that is Satyam Shivam Sundaram, written by Professor N. Kasturi. And the story goes like this. Once there was a person, Kalpagiri, and he had committed a foul murder. And after committing this mistake, he just ran away from police. He went off to Himalayas to escape. He put on the ochre robe and he was in the company of other saints and sages who were also in ochre robe. But Kalpagiri was always doubting the other saints, and he was thinking that these saints, some of these saints also must be wickedness packed in ochre robe. Obviously he will think like that because he was a rogue and he was wearing the ochre robe and was escaping from the police. Now, he was always in the company of saints and sages, and he traveled in the Himalayas as a pilgrim, and he participated in different satsangs with the saints and sages and they spoke about bhakti, jnana, vairagya, and he also got chance to read many sacred texts. So he was in saint's company for about 4 years, donned with the ochre robe. Now, after about 4 years, he thought that, well, police would have forgotten about him. So he thought of coming down South India. So as a pilgrim, he went to many pilgrimage places in South India. That is, he went to Simachalam, then to Tirupati, Kanchi, and then he went to Rameshwaram at the extreme south of India. After going to Rameshwaram, he turned to Madurai and then to Srirangam and Chamundi Hills, and then reached Bangalore and he heard about Puttaparthi and Sri Satya Sai Baba. So he boarded the Guntakal train, alighted at Penugonda, and a bus brought him to Prashanthi Nilayam. Well, Kalpagiri came to Prashanthi Nilayam for the first time and he didn't know anything about Swami. So Kalpagiri one day sat in darshan line in his Soka Rup thinking Swami to be an ordinary saint like him. But Baba called the sannyasi in and as Swami is the all-knowing one and nothing can be hidden from him, Swami chided him for running away from the consequences of his deed, which he could never accomplish successfully. Swami told him that death, enmity and murder have to be atoned for, there is no escape. Swami went on telling further, Kalpagiri, why postpone for another birth the suffering which you must undergo in return for the murder that you committed? Swami told him that by doing so he was insulting the ochre robe that he was wearing. So Swami went inside and brought down white clothes for him to wear in place of the ochre robes, which he directed him to take off. Then Swami commanded him to go back and surrender himself to police. Swami also ensured him, go, confess and undergo cheerfully whatever punishment they ultimately give you. So Swami promised him that he will not be hanged. Instead, his neck will wear a japamala, a rosary, which Swami himself would put around him once he comes back after his imprisonment. So Kalpagiri then emerged from the interview room like a serpent that has thrown off its coil and renewed itself. There was a glint in his eye, a vigor in his voice, a lightness in his gait that were not there when he went inside the interview room. Well, Baba must be Lord himself, he thought to himself, and he decided to obey his command and save himself rather than discarding it and get caught in the net of rebirth. So he confessed to police and he went to jail, but he was given death sentence by the judge. But as Swami was promised, his death sentence was cancelled by the President of India and it had become a sentence of life imprisonment. Well, during the weeks when the petition for presidential mercy was being considered, Kalpagiri in his cell was telling his other prison mates about Swami. He told them that Swami is none other than incarnation of Lord at Puttaparthi and that he had assured him that mercy will be shown on him and that he would go back to Swami and a japamala will be given to him. Now, after a few days or a few months, the word of Swami came true and the petition bore fruit. Kalpagiri was released from prison. He came to Prashanthi Nilayam to Swami and Swami gave him a japamala. Well, naturally, dear listeners, others in the prison were eager to know from him the name and address of Swami, the glory and splendor, the wisdom and mercy of Baba. And then they wrote a letter to Baba in their own unsophisticated style for his blessings, his pictures and books about him. And out of his perpetual love, Swami sent his blessings by writing a letter back. Wow. So you see, dear listeners, when this life-giving Satya Sai Ganga wends its way into a prison, dead bones become alive. Dried plants put forth leaves. Sunshine sweeps away sadness. Well, dear listeners, with that beautiful story and beautiful thought, I conclude for today. The time right now in our studio is 12:25, and in another couple of minutes after listening to this bhajan, Prem and Arvind are here, and you will be listening to the afternoon satsang with them. So I conclude for today. I place this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet. So please enjoy this beautiful Sai bhajan, and after that, you have your afternoon satsang.
Mukti Pradayini Prema Pradayini Shanti Pradayini Ma Janani Ma Janani Jagajanani Saima Janani Ma Janani Jagajanani Saima Daya Karo Sai Ma Kripa Karo Sai Ma Jaya Ma Jaya Ma Daya Karo
Yeah. Deva, Jaya, Jaya. Oh,